Okay, quickly, first of all, two things.
Mm-hmm.
What is the importance of financial literacy?
Yeah, again, the importance of financial literacy is, the importance of it is really understanding how money works and how to increase your money without even working that hard. You know, financial literacy is not just about working and then saving your money. You know, there's a lot of other outlets to be able to grow and invest your money. Speaking of invest, you invest, you could put your money into insurance accounts, make passive income. There's a lot of other ways that your money could grow without just working a regular job and then saving your money. And that's what a lot of people are actually starting to realize now, and why a lot of more people you see are making more money, because they understand how they can make money without even working that hard. So being financial literate helps you make money without working yourself as hard. Say it like that.
My next question is really simple. Is it important to look good? I mean, like, to be well-groomed, to be neat. Are those good attributes to have? Now, I know it might sound ridiculous for me to ask you that question.
Is that good? Man, it's always been like that. Always been like that. You always... Even back in your day, 40 years ago, it's always been good to look good and be presentable.
Excuse me?
Like, it's always been like, it's never going to change.
You said, 5 years ago?
Oh, yeah. No. Back in my time. Two more zeros. I put 500
years ago. Okay. All right.
It's always been like that.
Okay. Well, we're going to... look at that, and there's someone interesting that I'm gonna have you meet here in a few minutes.
Okay.
His name is Amir Youssef, and he believes in the importance of looking good for young people, and the importance of financial literacy, you know, not just for older people, but specifically for teenagers.
Yeah.
You know, the understanding of that.
Yeah.
Your peers, how aware are they?
Yeah, but that's like kind of like the problem with a lot of my young peers. We're not taught that. We don't have classes like that available in class. I mean, let me take that back. Some schools actually do, but they're just for like a year. They're not really harped on as much. And we really, as like a country, need to start implementing financial literacy when we're like in middle school, beginning in middle school, even probably elementary school, because money is everything. Once, you know what I'm saying, once you get 18 and older, you know what I'm saying, I just turned 18 actually, and it's all these financial commitments that I have to have, you know, with either paying with college, you know, understanding the real world. You know, if you're not being with your parents, you have to understand how to use your own money. And the problem is, a lot of kids are not taught that, so they get in a lot of financial trouble. But, you know, being able, for me, being a part of a program that really taught me the importance and taught me a lot of different ways to save, invest, and make money has really helped me, especially for right now. And I'm just really grateful to be a part of something like that, and I hope a lot of other students could be a part of it as well.
Okay, good morning, Amir. How are you?
Good morning.
Okay, now, first off, I want everybody to know that Amir Youssef, am I saying your name correctly, first of all?
Correct, you are.
Okay, so you are a Seton Hall Pirate, am I correct?
Absolutely, go Pirates.
Okay, well, you know, that makes me proud to introduce you here with us this morning. And I have a young man, maybe you can hear him. Tell him, Walter, tell Mr. Youssef the importance of good hygiene and looking good.
Yeah, all right, so the importance of, you know, good hygiene and looking good, especially today, there's a lot of opportunities for young people. I'm going to say this from a young person's perspective and young people. Being able to look good, be presentable, is going to give you a lot of opportunities and make a lot of people want to talk to you and network with you and just, you know, if you're going out in that business world or you're going out in just regular America, you know, you always got to make sure that you're looking your best and you're being presentable to the next person, because you never know who you might meet. So you always want to look good.
Amir, take it away. Tell us about your program.
He's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. And unfortunately, that's the truth. And I say that because, you know, we're a judgmental society. And, you know, when you don't look your best, we are judged in that manner. So, you know, I created the BuzzBox program, which helps underserved at-risk youth, also homeless adults and kids, receive a free haircut. It's almost like a prepaid sponsored haircut. And the reality is, you know, when you do look better, you feel better. And when you feel better, you do better. And that's our tagline. And that's the reality. So, you know, when, you know, it's absolutely correct. When you are, whether you're in a place where you're meeting someone for the first time, you know, first impressions, when they see you looking groomed and fresh, they approach you. When they see the opposite, it's almost like they repel and they don't approach you. So, you know, that's correct in your perspective. I wanted to just follow up and say that, you know, when we do provide that additional self-esteem boost, it's the recipient feeling much better about himself that allows them to go out and be more confident and pursue opportunity, because opportunity could be there, but if you don't look well and you're not prepared for it, you might not engage it. So that's it. So thank you so much.
Well, no, I'm not letting you off the hook just that easy. Okay.
I mean, that's just to answer his point, but yeah, he's correct. He's absolutely correct.
But okay, so you did tell everyone about your program, but I need you to reiterate that again. How did you come up with the idea to help, and how and why did you come up with the idea of haircuts for young people and mentorship?
Well, I mean, it started off, it was, you know, I had a barbershop in Miami, and it was called the Chop Shop, and we were pretty much the number one barbershop in the community. And I say number one, not as, you know, like a competitive nature in being the best, although we were. It was really number one because we were community-oriented. So as a result, we were called upon, and this was, like, very consistently, every year back to school and the holidays. The two times of the year where I would get multiple phone calls from foundations, from individuals, parents, or whatever, who wanted to have their child or their, you know, the person that needed the haircut be blessed by one of our barbers to get a haircut. So we would always be called. We would go to the foundations. We would go do the work in the community. And there was one specific instance in 2009 at the Overtown Youth Center where it was one of these years where Tina Brown, the executive director, called me and she said, "Amir, there's going to be a lot of kids here for back to school. Can you bring additional barbers?" Right? It was always one barber in the beginning, and then it became such a demand, she asked for additional. I said, "Yeah, no problem. We'll bring, I'll bring three total. Is that okay?" And she said, "Yeah." So I brought two barbers and one stylist. We did braids for the girls and we did haircuts for the boys. And then at the end of the 5-hour back to school event, there was like four or five kids who didn't get a haircut. And Tina Brown asked me if I would come back another day with the barbers to finish those haircuts. And that's when I told her, I said, "Listen," I said, "you know, these barbers are taking time out of their day to come and do this service for you for free, okay? I can't ask them to come back out another day and take out time from what they're doing in business to give out free haircuts." And I asked, I said, "Would you be opposed paying them?" And she's like, "Well, we really don't have funds to pay for haircuts." And I said, "Really?" I said, "But can't you raise the money and then have them come over and do it?" And then that's what she told me. She's like, "Listen, we focus on education. We focus on you know, after school care, we have food. There's other things that come before the haircut. We can't really raise the money for that. And that's when it hit me. And I was like, well, what if I raise the money for you? Allow me to pay them through those funds. And then would we be able to come back once a month instead of once a year? And she was like, yeah, absolutely. If you do that, she's like, yeah, why not? And that's what started me down that road of trying to figure out how to do it. You know, because at the end of the day, these kids were getting a haircut for back to school, but you know it's going to grow. And when we were giving them the haircut in that moment, it seemed as if they hadn't gotten a haircut all summer, right? Because their hair was out of whack and it was growing and it looked like they hadn't had a haircut for at least 3 to 4 months. And to me, I knew immediately that after this haircut that we gave them, that they're probably going another 3-4 months without one. And that pretty much bothered me. So that's where it started. It was back in 2009.
Okay. Your program has grown since then, and you're looking to do bigger and better things. Could you quickly tell us about that?
Correct. So it took me quite a while since 2009 to figure out, you know, the entire process of how it would work. You know, I started off as a nonprofit, and I failed miserably. I got a little discouraged, so I quit for a little while, and then it came back to me again in terms of, you know, submitting and creating the Buzz It Forward initiative, BuzzBox program, as, you know, a mentorship program, right? And ever since I repositioned it as a mentorship program, it started to get a tremendous amount of, looks and interest. So in 2019, I created, which is what I thought would be the best way to facilitate the program, I built a game room / barbershop for the Boys and Girls Clubs in Union County, which I'm a board member of. At the moment, I've joined their board in 2020. As a result, you know, we created the in-house barbershop game room because, you know, in most cases, you know, barbers go and do haircuts for kids and they don't do it in a barbershop setting. They'll bring a chair, and it's not really a comfortable experience. So what I wanted to do is create the entire experience, you know, for the kids in a facility like the Boys and Girls Clubs or the Overtown Youth Center that would be able to maintain, sustain, and grow the program as their own throughout the years. So we're going to be in our third annual back-to-school buzz-a-thon at the Boys and Girls Clubs. And to me, this is the point where I feel the growth is going to happen, because once the Boys and Girls Clubs is able to utilize this program to facilitate haircuts and mentorship on-site, they're utilizing it to raise money for the organization, for the program itself. It's giving kids tremendous self-esteem and an opportunity to speak to the barbers and that mentorship, and through the stylist, that mentorship. It's something that I think all kids need, other than looking better and feeling better about themselves, is that encouragement to do better. And to have somebody that's close within their community or age range that can, you know, speak to them and guide them through the process. So our barbers are always vetted to be great in terms of being able to speak to the kids and to the youth in a positive manner that allows them to encourage them. And then from there, the second qualification, they have to be a great or a good barber stylist. So, you know, that's so that the haircuts come out amazing and they're not walking away looking worse than when they walked in.
Okay. Our young person, his name, by the way, is Walter Pierce. Okay. And he's a freshman. Unfortunately, he didn't choose the pirate path.
So sorry to hear that, Walter. So
oh, he has a question for you.
That's crazy. But look, I know you mentioned again that, you know, first off, at first when you tried to do the nonprofit, you know, it failed, but then you came back. I just want you to mention, you know, between that time, like, what really inspired you to really come back and continue this journey, because it is something that is very important for our community.
Yeah, well, I mean, I got to be honest with you. I think, you know, the discouragement was, you know, the limitation for me. I was always inspired to create this program. I wanted to do it. And, you know, sometimes what you want to do and what you can do are very far apart. I had great intention. I knew that it was necessary, but I started, and, you know, and this is a big misconception and a mistake that a lot of people do. And for me, I think failure is a good thing because it teaches you valuable lessons. But my failure was because I was approaching, you know, the opportunity and what I was trying to accomplish in the wrong way. I was competing against other amazing foundations for funds that were very limited. So, for instance, you know, there's corporations that will allocate, you know, a certain amount of money for, community giving or for philanthropic use. Mm-hmm. So what ends up happening is if I'm applying for those funds and then there's another organization applying for those funds, you know, they're not going to split it up, or even if they do split it up, you know, it's creating a less of an opportunity for each organization to maximize. But, you know, in the nonprofit world, there's rules and boundaries, and there's certain things that you have to do to qualify. And, you know, me being who I am in business and my acumen in marketing and my background, basically, you know, when I came back into it, the reason why I came back into it was I said I'm going to give it another shot, but instead of being a nonprofit asking for money to help, you know, create a mentorship program for kids, I repositioned my strategy to be, you know, a marketing and PR strategy, which is what I'm really good at. That's what my business has always been. So I felt comfortable in that arena. And going after corporations or individuals who needed marketing and PR was something that was second nature to me. So I said to myself, I was like, why am I trying to reinvent, you know, my process and what I'm doing, and then to be in a world where I know nothing, right? And I was struggling and making mistakes and always... I really couldn't raise any money. You know, I raised some, but I never really raised ever enough. And that discouragement is what allowed me to fail twice. And I had a bright idea, and I said, you know what? Why don't I just go back to what I do best and do it that way? And then I started doing it that way, and it started working. And, you know, I was a little surprised, but not really. I shouldn't have been surprised. But, so, you know, hopefully that answers your question. But,
yeah,
you know, I think the most important thing is, you know, to stick to your strength and do what you do best. There's no reason to, you know, try to learn or do something that you're not comfortable with, because at the end of the day, what's going to happen is, you know, you're not going to be motivated mm-hmm. the way that you need to be. So when you're in your strength, when you're in your passion, when you're in, you know, the arena that you enjoy, it's really not work. So for me, it's really not work. I'm just going about my daily life, doing what I'm doing, you know, and I'm progressing every day because I'm putting in work every day.
Right. And listen, that was all great information, and I really appreciate you for sharing that with the audience. And, you know, we're cutting short on time, but before you go, I just want you to mention again, because this is something that is very important for our community to attend and be a part of, because I know haircuts are expensive, and trust me, it's ridiculous now. These new barbers charge crazy amounts of prices. So please just shout out again, you know, your event that's coming up, and let the audience know what you're doing.
So we're doing a back-to-school buzzathon at the Boys and Girls Clubs of Union County in Union, New Jersey. It's going to mm-hmm. be on Thursday, September 15th. We are registering kids to get free haircut supplies and a bunch of great, amazing things for their new school year. It starts at 4 p.m. It'll go all the way to 8 p.m. And, you know, hopefully sooner than later you'll have a buzz box in a city, in a neighborhood near you. And that's really our goal, is to expand the program into every major city so that we can help kids all across the country get these necessary haircuts when they need them. And they have to earn them, by the way. So it's kind of like an incentive. They're, you know, obviously nothing's free in life, but mm-hmm. when they do better in their community, we'll help them look better and feel better.
Love it.
We're going to have you back just before your events take place. Thank you so much for being a part of our program, and I trust that you've enjoyed being, you know, kind of interviewed by a young person.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, Walter, thank you so much for all the time and you know, for the interest. Richard, thank you for your time as well and for having me on the show.
It's an honor for us to have you. Are you kidding? We have another.
I appreciate it.
Yes, we're gonna let you go now. We have Walter coming up next, and he's gonna be
Justin.
Justin. You know, it's like parents getting their children Lord, mixed up. You know, I okay, all right. Don't you go in this place. Okay, Justin, I made a mistake.